this week's episode of Moral Victories, we burn right through and we get right to the good stuff. Because I was 5-0 last week picking games. And so we're just going to get right back into picks. We're going to just go right into the winners. I know a lot of people that you might follow, like a lot of you guys might be following some personalities out there, or you might have a couple people that you follow for picks on Twitter or on the website. But we're 29-12 this year. And so we're just going to give you some winners. Those guys might be costing you money. If you have taken every single pick that I've given, 29-12, you're up probably close to $2,000 right now. I'm not going to do the math in my head right now, but you're up close to $2,000 if you bet $100 on every single game. So we're getting right into picks, and then we're going to be out of here, and then we're going to have a great show for you next week. But episode number 9 coming to you right now.
Sports. The thrill of victory.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The agony of defeat.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Every loss teaches a lesson that's important for a young athlete's development.
I mean, I'm really disappointed in the
of course,
kind of fucking progress that we've made.
But it's important to remember that sports is about having fun, not winning.
You're here for one goddamn specific reason.
What's that, Earl?
Jack us!
Ah, you're full of shit. Fuck you.
This is Moral Victories. With Jared Shanker.
You really think I give a flying what the people on the radio call say?
Welcome to what is number 9, episode number 9 of the Moral Victories podcast. I am your host, Jared Shanker, and this is going to be another quick one. I know we had a quick one yesterday. I swear this hasn't happened in a while, but we got these two shorter ones back to back. Apologies, but we're not 100% right now, and so we're just gonna Nick Bosa it. We're gonna worry about the future. We're gonna just shut it down, and then come back even stronger next week. But can't do that without giving a couple of picks, or at least a couple early leans, because I went 5-0 last week. I'm 29-12 on the year. I'm really not one to brag that much because I know. The regression is coming. I'm at 70% now, and I know probably by the end of the year I'm going to be down at like 55%. It's going to crush me. It's going to crush my wallet. It's probably going to end up crushing your guys' wallet. So I'm hoping that you guys got on some of these early picks. Like last week, 5-0, killed it. I've had it's the second undefeated week. I've had a couple 4-1s in there, and I think maybe 1-3-2. I don't pick 5 games every single week, but I usually keep it about 4 or 5 or 6. And last week, Florida came through, got them at given 7. And we all know, good teams win, great teams cover. Florida, officially a great team after beating Vandy by 10. Even for those that had to hop on late and got it at 9.5, ends up beating them by 10. Florida, maybe the best team in the SEC now, because Bama might not be able to call themselves a great team anymore. Depending on when you got them, I think this is 4 straight games that they haven't covered. Everybody wants to get on Bama, or even Bama first half. I don't think they covered first half against Missouri, and they, depending on when you got them, they didn't cover against Missouri if you got them at about 30, but I know very few people would have gotten them there. But we hit on Florida, hit on Boston College, and those two were kind of sweats, and they really shouldn't have been. Florida turning the ball over inside, deep inside Vandy territory. Boston College turning it over deep in their own territory. They pretty much blew out Louisville for the remainder of the game, only ended up winning by, I think, 18. But really, I think Louisville scored 20 points. They had no business scoring more than about 7. Hit on Duke. Hit on UCLA. And that's a team that I'm looking at again this week, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But like I said, this is going to be a rather short one. Going to talk a little bit of some of the games that I am leaning toward. But first, every time I give out picks, I'm going to do it on the Twitter account. It's at Jared_Shanker. You can also email the podcast, moralpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at VictoriesMoral, Instagram, Moral Victories. It's kind of flip-flop there. Even though we don't post on there, I don't know why I keep giving it out at the start of every episode. There's really no point. But We're going to try to start posting there again because, like I said, the picks are hot. And I think one thing we want to kind of encourage you guys is to email the podcast now, because I want to start doing something where we bring a listener on every week and they get to give their picks too. Because I ask you guys on Twitter every single Saturday, every single Sunday, because I want to see what you guys are playing too. I don't I know everybody out there has got some good picks, and we want to give you guys a chance to get in on it too. So we're going to get right into a couple of the games that I am looking at this week. The first one, Virginia getting 7.5 against Duke. I really like Jordan Ellis, the running back for Virginia. Duke just announced that one of their better defensive linemen is going to be out for the game. And actually, Duke surprisingly has recruited well over these last few years. They're not a team that doesn't have a lot of talent, and they make it all up in coaching now. They've recruited a couple 4 or 5 star, they've recruited a couple 4 stars. They've recruited a couple high 3 stars. So when they lose a guy, it's not like, oh, well, they're only losing a 2-star guy. It actually is impactful when they lose some of these guys now. So I like Jordan Ellis. I like that Duke is a little bit banged up on the D-line. The Virginia pass D has been really good this year. I know they haven't played super stiff competition, and what they did to Miami. Perry, the new quarterback at Miami, he's clearly not a great player. Is he better than Rozier? I don't even know. Rozier, at least you kind of knew what you were going to get. You weren't going to get a whole lot, granted. And Perry at his best is certainly better than Rozier at his best. But with Rozier, you're going to probably get a little bit more of a stable output from week to week. I still think it's better for them long-term to go with Perry. I think even for this year, it's still better for them to go with Perry. They weren't going to be a playoff team no matter who was the quarterback. They weren't going to be an ACC championship team no matter who was the quarterback. Might as well get Perry in there and build toward maybe getting 10 wins again this year, getting 9 wins, and then maybe you make a run in the near future. But still impressive what Virginia did, holding that Miami offense to not that many points last week. And I'm not entirely comfortable, even though I was on Duke last week, having them lay more than 7. I know they beat Georgia Tech by 21. I took them earlier in the year when they were playing Army, and they were favored by, I believe, 13, and they maybe covered by a couple points there. But against a solid ACC team, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable laying more than a touchdown with Duke. Another game I'm looking at, Miami of Ohio. Speaking of Miamis, Miami of Ohio out there in Southwest Ohio. I think they're a team that's on the rise. They are better than how they started. Chuck Martin, the coach there, I think last year he started 0-6. They finished 6-6. He's clearly, he has this buildup where they suck at the beginning of the season, and then they keep getting better and better over the course of the year, where in the second half, you're probably going to be able to get a decent amount of value. And they're opening, getting 11.5 against Army, who we just alluded to. Army, way better than I thought they were going to be this year. I'm actually probably going to lose Army on the under for their season win totals. I know that's a terrible thing to even bet in the first place, betting against Army to win football games. But I thought they were set up for a bit of a fallback. They haven't. They're a really good team. I don't think they're as good as what you would have seen if you just looked at the box score against San Jose State last week. And I'm going to get to San Jose State toward the end here. But with the way the Army offense operates, they can throw the ball as well as they've had in any year. They're actually pretty good at throwing the football when they need to, whether it was against Hawaii, whether it was against Duke. They actually can make some big plays. But getting double digits for Miami, who I think is a solid team, who I think is better, that's one that I'm leaning toward. Again, none of these are set in stone. You guys definitely have to follow along on Twitter, either Thursday, Friday, sometimes even Saturday morning. I keep guessing. There's no set time when they come out. Although I have been talking to somebody about maybe doing something weekly where it's a set time, or I might do something where it's another unique link. But these are all kind of leans at this point. keep him on your radar. If you want to jump on him, if you see the numbers shifting a little bit, I would definitely go ahead and take it then if you feel pretty confident. But these are just ones that I'm leaning toward right now. And let's get another crappy game out of the way, one that I imagine nobody is going to watch unless it is unless you gambled on it. And that's taking Eastern Michigan, giving 3 on the road at Ball State. Eastern Michigan is the better team. I don't think there's any question there. I don't like taking Eastern Michigan as a road favorite. But I just like what that coaching staff is doing there. They were maybe the worst team in college football under Ron English. And that was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And they have just slowly kind of built that program where they're not a tough out in the MAC anymore. Their record isn't great, but you see how they've played. They played everyone tough, even though I don't know what their record is off the top of my head. It's not good. But they lose to Purdue. They lose to Buffalo. They lose to San Diego State. Buffalo and San Diego State might be the two best group of five teams in the country. NIU, even when they're not having a 10-win type year, they're always one of the more talented MAC teams. Western Michigan, one of the better Group of Five MAC programs over these last few years. Those five losses by a combined 13 points. I don't think people have realized how good this Eastern Michigan program has gotten over these last few years. They've been bowl eligible. They're playing Purdue tough. They're playing Buffalo tough. Buffalo is really good. I think people are just finally starting to catch on to Buffalo. And actually had somebody on Twitter make Buffalo their mortal lock last week, and I should have taken their word for it. I think that's 2 weeks in a row, and he knows who he is. I think that's 2 weeks in a row he had a nice lock. He gave me Michigan 2 weeks ago, which I also did not take. So I'm going to take whatever he tells me to do this week, and it's not going to hit, so I'm sorry I just jinxed you, bud. Other couple games I'm looking at, UCLA giving 7 against crappy Arizona. Arizona's got to be the most disappointing team maybe in the Power 5 this year. There are people who actually, or I've heard people consider taking them as plus whatever to either make the playoff or to win the national championship, which I understand the thinking there. If Arizona gets to a position where they are 9-1, 10-0, looking at winning the Pac-12 South and potentially sneaking in the back door, well, then you can start hedging. You're not really playing Arizona to win the national championship because you know that's not going to happen. But they've just been terrible. They're just not competitive. They beat Cal because they had 2 pick sixes. They got crushed by pretty much everybody else except for, I think, Oregon State. And then the game last week that I felt actually one of the more confident ones about, and it's one of those games where even though they weren't an underdog by that many, you're just like, oof, this is a tough one to take. That's the UCLA game where they were getting 7 against Cal, but I thought they had a good chance of actually winning that game outright, and they did. So that's one of those where it's worth throwing a little bit of money on the money line as well as taking them as the 7-point underdog. And if you're going to throw a little bit of money line money anywhere, you can do it with mybookie.net. Right now, if you sign up with the promo code VICTORIES, they're going to give you a 100% sign-up bonus. So say you bet $100. Say you're considering betting $100 on every game that I gave last week. You would have quadrupled your money. You're going to deposit $500. That automatically doubles to $1,000. Well, now, if you were going to bet $100, you might as well bet $200 on the game. $200. Now you just won an extra $1,000. You got the $1,000 already in the bank. You got an additional $1,000. I'm helping you quadruple your money with my picks every single week. At 70%, even at 70%, take away that 5-0 week, you're still going to be maybe have tripled your money. So it's mybookie.net. You can take the side, the total. You can even bet over-unders on how many fantasy points a player is going to score. And that's just not limited to college football. I know that's what I talk about most, but it's the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. MyBookie.net lets you play online. You win big, maybe as much as four times, or you could even, you might even go more than me. Maybe it's not 100. Maybe you're doing more. Maybe you're doing less. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can double what your initial deposit is right away with the promo code VICTORIES when you register for your account and get the 100% sign-up bonus. Doesn't matter if the game already kicked off. Don't sweat that. MyBookie.net has in-game live action. That's all the rage now. A lot of people just do. A lot of my friends are all about doing in-game. So you do the in-game live action on every major league event, esports included. No better time to join MyBookie.net than today. The season is not even halfway over in the NFL. You still got October baseball. NBA starts tonight. So use promo code VICTORIES when you register for your account and get the 100% sign-up bonus. You go to MyBookie.net to open the account. You start winning. That's what happens. Get in on the action. MyBookie.net's website today. And use promo code VICTORIES to get a 100% sign-up bonus. MyBookie.net, promo code VICTORIES for a 100% bonus. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions apply for entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited. And people hit it on Chip, and they're getting better quickly. I just don't know if I'm ready to give 7 points. And it's probably going to end up being a little bit more as Khalil Tate, the Arizona quarterback, you can't even really say he's been bad. He's not been given a chance. It's so weird how things have progressed at Arizona and then even down the road at Arizona State. Everybody thought it was going to be flip-flop, that Arizona State would be a joke. How is Herm Edwards going to be a college coach? How is he going to recruit? Herm Edwards' quotes have been taken out of context a whole lot and kind of made him look a little foolish. Sometimes he did that to himself, and I am all for giving these coaches a bit of a hard time. But what's happening at Arizona, it's so weird that Kevin Sumlin hasn't been able to find a way to properly use Khalil Tate. And now Tate is injured. You can't imagine that he's going to come back for another year, at least not to Arizona. But even as bad as they are, I still don't know if I'm comfortable taking UCLA, giving 7 or more. But this could be a game where UCLA blows them out by 40. Like, this is one where, even though I'm a little bit on the fence now, it's a Tuesday. Over the course of the week, when I look into these games a little bit more, I would not be shocked if that's one that I play on Twitter. And speaking of UCLA beating California, that was one of my plays last week. I'm kind of going opposite. I had Cal against Oregon, and I thought they actually played pretty well, even though the score didn't reflect it. Got a little bit away from them end of the first half. Ooh, sorry there for that cough. And I said, we're not 100%. That's why we're going to Nick Bosa hit. We're going to get out of here early. We're going to start prepping for next week's show. But Cal, giving 6.5. I think they're a solid team. I think they've dropped 3 in a row now, starting with that Oregon loss. They were really riding high. This could just be me being biased and not wanting to admit that I had a dumb pick of taking the Cal over. I have Cal at 6.5 wins over, and that's probably going to come down to that end-of-the-year game against Stanford, who I have for under 8.5 wins. So that is going to be a stressful game, which is probably going to be put on the Pac-12 network and not going to be able to watch it. I'll be following along on Gamecast. But I think Cal is still a solid team. I feel still pretty good giving 6.5 on the road with Cal against Oregon State. I believe they're on the road. Not gonna really fact check that, but I know they're playing Oregon State. I do like Cal. Oregon State, they've been better than what people have thought they were going to be, but they're still a long way away. I've seen they've been a bit of a popular pick as an underdog, and I don't think they've done especially well in that role, at least as far as covering. I could be wrong, but I think Cal is a good team. Justin Wilcox is doing a bunch of tinkering there. They're not nearly where they want to be. They might not even be where they want to be in year two, but I think they are trending up in what is an increasingly tough Pac-12 North. Between Washington likely being a Pac-12 favorite every year, even if not the favorite, Oregon, you got to think they're way ahead of schedule with Mario Cristobal than they thought. And I was suspect of that hire. I know Cristobal had done really well down at FIU and got mysteriously fired. That was such a weird situation. And then he goes to Alabama. He's the offensive line coach there. Obviously ends up at Oregon under Willie Taggart for the year. But I thought maybe there were some better options out there, and I was way wrong. What they've been able to do against Stanford, especially considering they weren't great in their first few games. I don't know if that was them playing vanilla, but they were obviously great against Stanford until the very end. And people have been killing Cristobal. I don't know. Like I can't get on him too. Like most people are going to run the football there, and I think if it goes the opposite way, you know he's going to get killed if he goes kneel, punts the ball with however many seconds left, and something crazy happens. It gets blocked. It gets returned. You know, they throw a deep pass to the 50, face mask, and you have Jet Toner, who's a decent kicker, can kick something deep. So I actually don't hate, and I don't think he should be as ridiculed as he was. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I think if they go kneel, punt it, and something crazy happens, they're going to get the same thing. I really don't have an issue with them trying to pick up that first down and ending the game there. But then, like I said, so Cal's running up in that division. Washington State, they're better than everybody thought they were. They were a popular underpick going into the year as far as win totals, and they are a lot better than everybody expected. They opened up as a favorite against Oregon, and that might have flipped. But really cool that's College Game Day's finally going to Pullman. You see Old Crimson the flag there every single week. And for them to actually get there, it's almost like you never thought it was going to happen. And I saw on Twitter this week there's only like 11 programs that College Game Day, 11 Power 5 programs that College Game Day hasn't been to yet. And Rutgers is one of them. I was there in 2006 when Brian Leonard leaped the Louisville defender. Ray Rice was a freshman there, and it was problematic. But they play Louisville, who's number 3 in the country at the time. Brian Brohm, Bobby Petrino, and they have this great comeback win. Next year, they beat number 2 USF in Rutgers. I was there for both games. Ended up on the field for both games. Didn't even go to Rutgers. Was still a student in high school. Just happened to get tickets to each game and ended up on the field there. So it hurts a little bit because it felt like Rutgers was building into a solid Big East team. RIP to the Big East. And now they are literally a bigger joke than Kansas. And I guess there's just when Kansas wins against you, you kind of have to take that crown from them. And they just are getting killed every single week. And it hurts. But so it's cool. It's cool that game day is going to be over at Washington State this year. And this is one that this is the one I feel probably most confident in. And yet the pick I hate the most. I think everybody knows I've been a bit of a NC State hater from my time at ESPN. I just thought they were a constant underachieving team. And years that they were supposed to be good, they really weren't. And I just feel like Dave Doran, the coach there, who I respect because I think he's a solid coach, but sometimes he's just always making excuses. He always has something to say. And sometimes I think it takes away from what he actually has been able to build there. When you look at what they've been able to do over these last 2 years, it's actually somewhat impressive. And I'm not just talking about the close losses to Clemson. The close loss to Florida State 2 years ago, they beat Florida State last year. But they've been able to progressively build up where they can now be an 8-win team every year. But I still don't like taking them. And I think I've avoided taking NC State since I was on them last year, getting 7 on the road at Notre Dame, and that one really wasn't competitive. But now they're getting 17 on the road at Clemson, a team that for maybe like the last 2 or 3 years, they should have beaten Clemson, and they've had some heartbreaking losses. I don't know if this was the same game. They have all those missed kicks. And then there's another one, it might be the same game, where they throw a pick in the end zone in overtime. I think that's the same game. But I think they played them tough last year. And I think they're going to play them really tough this year. I don't know if they're going to win. The only concern is Sunshine. The new Clemson quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, he's bound to erupt at some point. He is just way too talented. I know they're probably playing him. Actually, I don't even think they may be playing him as early as they wanted. I think it's probably pretty close to on schedule. I think a lot of people didn't expect Kelly Bryant to last the entire year, because Trevor Lawrence, from what everybody says, is just going to take the offense to another level. And I think at some point you're going to see him take his own personal game to another level. And I think he's been good. But I think there's that like 400-yard, 5-touchdown game in him. And it could come now that he had the extra week. Both teams had the week off. I think I give a little bit of the advantage to Clemson there, because there isn't a ton of film on Trevor Lawrence yet. And this gives a chance. I don't know how banged up Clemson was, but this gives Clemson a chance to get healed up. That defensive line, they've underachieved a little bit. The whole defense has underachieved a little bit, and that's not that they've been bad. Everybody just expects them to be all world, and they just haven't been that. So it does concern me that Lawrence is the quarterback. It does concern me that they've had a chance to heal up and game plan a little bit more for Ryan Finley, who has a ton of tape. And while he is very efficient, I don't know if they're going to make the kind of big plays consistently to keep pace with an offense that has Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne. They got a couple monsters out there on the outside at receiver. But that's one that's going to be a definite play. I'm definitely going to be on NC State, I think. I don't think there's any question about that. A couple other ones quick. UNC Charlotte. Not UNC. UNC is terrible. And UNC Charlotte might actually beat UNC. That's how bad the Tar Heels have fallen. Nobody was a bigger heel yeah proponent than I was in 2015. I was pushing the Heels into the playoff, put them on my back, was carrying Fedora, was carrying Marquise Williams, and trying to get them into the conversation that they should be a playoff team if they beat Clemson in the ACC championship game, despite that terrible, terrible loss to South Carolina, I believe it was, to start that year. And they've just been brutal since. They were okay in 2016 with Mitch Trubisky. The worst team in the ACC last year. Probably the worst team in the ACC this year. And they're not any good. But UNC Charlotte, they're getting 18 points against Middle Tennessee State. And I feel like everybody still assumes that Middle Tennessee State is one of the best group of five teams. And they've just really not been to that level. And I think maybe it's because Brent Stockstill has been there for like 15 years at quarterback. But I actually think they're better off with the new guy. Stockstill got hurt during the FIU game. I was on FIU giving 2.5. They ended up winning by 3 because of a late pick from the new guy. But I was the Middle Tennessee State offense moved the ball a lot better against FIU, which has a solid defense with the new guy in. His name's escaping me, but I just don't think that they're nearly as good with Stockstill as people wanted them to be, people expected them to be, and he's always banged up, and I feel bad for him because he's got to be one of the toughest guys out there. I think there was even concerns that he could die on the field when he had a collarbone injury last year. Not a lot of guys willing to die on the field for Middle Tennessee State, so I give him all the credit in the world. That's a tough dude, but I don't think they're 18 points better than a lot of programs right now, and I think it's worth throwing a little bit on UNC Charlotte. Again, I don't always love some of these terrible, terrible team plays because they're always capable of being blown out by 50, but that's one I do like. Nobody might be more capable of being blown out than 50 than San Jose State, because that pretty much just happened. They were awful in the second half against Army. They can't really score. They don't play particularly great defense. They are one of the worst teams in college football. There's no doubt about that. They're not UTEP level bad, but they are bad. But they're getting 4 touchdowns against San Diego State, which could be the best group of five team, which has went up to Boise State and won there on the road. And I think they only had like 6 first downs. So what I'm getting at is that's not a great offense. And I don't know if they should be giving 28 points to that many teams, especially with them being a little banged up on offense themselves. I don't believe that Juwan Washington is going to play. And And I think it's worth taking a flyer on San Jose State not to win by any means. They will lose. And I think you're probably hoping that they lose by about 24, and maybe best case scenario, the final score is 24-0. But a cover is a cover, and you got to be willing to take some of those awful teams, man. That's why I'm 29-12 this year. I was able, I took Arkansas getting however many points against Texas A&M. I took Texas A&M getting how many points against Alabama. You just have to be able to just swallow it, knowing that it is going to be a tough one to take. And you're not going to probably want to watch the game. The worst thing you could do for those is to just follow on Gamecast, because it's like, game starts, the team that you took literally just let up a touchdown within 30 seconds. First possession, they probably turn it over. Down 14-0 within a few minutes, probably down about 20 at halftime. You're pretty much hoping for the second half to maybe just go 10-7. They score 10. The team that you took that's getting 28 scores 7 and somehow is able to keep it close. You know, they lose by 24. Where the other team lets the pedal on the gas. I think that's what we might see with San Jose State, where San Diego State gets up to maybe it's 20-0, and then it's all right, we're a little bit banged up. Let's just run the football, which they do anyway, and then get on out of there. Really quick, a couple other games I wanted to hit on. Penn State. I don't know how they did this 2 years in a row where they lose to Ohio State by a point and then lose to Michigan State in a game that really is theirs to take, and they just don't do it time and time again. This one even worse than last year. But they're on the road this week at Indiana. I think it's going to be good for them to get away from home because both these losses happened in Beaver Stadium. Indiana, they are not great against the pass. And I know the Penn State offense can be a little bit up and down as far as the passing game goes, but McSorley is one of the best players in college football. He's not perfect. He's not extremely accurate with the football, but dude makes plays. He's got some good tall receivers out there. I think that's what I'm leaning toward, is Penn State giving 13.5, because I do expect them to bounce back. And then I just want to talk about Auburn. They're giving 4 on the road at Ole Miss. They got to be the biggest joke program out there. That was the easiest season total under I think I've ever had, was Auburn under 9. And I saw them at under 8.5 for some nice positive money. And I just, that seemed too risky to take them at 8 and to expect 8-4. But man, they might not even, they might be 6-6. They lost to Tennessee. Tennessee hadn't won a SEC game since 2016. Tennessee has just been blown out time and time again this year. And they lost by, like, I think it was double digits at one point in the second half. Which is, you know, I just didn't see that happening. And I just couldn't believe how quickly that program has fallen. But that's what they do. They have a good year. So it's the odd years, they're really good. 2013, they make it to the national championship game with Gus Malzahn. 2017, they make it to, you know, right there into the top five. They beat Georgia. They beat Alabama. They end up losing to Georgia in the SEC championship game. But I don't know, was that UCF game after New Year's? Was that technically a 2018 game? Because that would make sense as to why they lost that game, if that was actually in 2018. Makes a whole lot of sense. So we're going to go again. So this is what we're looking at. UVA plus 7.5. Miami plus 11.5. Eastern Michigan minus 3. UCLA minus 7. Cal given 6.5. NC State getting 17. UNC Charlotte getting 18. San Jose State getting 28. That's what we're looking at for this week, and that's going to do it for this really quick episode of Moral Victories. Again, follow along on Twitter at @Jared_Schenker, and that's where you'll get the official plays. There's going to be a couple games that are not on this list that I'm going to end up playing. It's just Tuesday is way too early to come out with something, and so things are going to change over the course of these next few days. There's going to be a few games on there for sure. I would definitely expect NC State to be on there, probably Cal, but as far as what the other 3 or 4 could be, or maybe even only 2, you know, we'll decide that later. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. There ain't no rush. I know a lot of times you get the best number if you just bet it early, but even if you get the best number, if you don't do your research, then what does it matter? And so we're gonna hold off. We'll make our picks. I usually put them in Thursday night, and of course maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, depending on how the line moves. But I wouldn't go ahead and lock any of these in, except if you can get NC State at 17, because that's only going to go down. I don't think that's going anywhere up. I would go ahead and maybe jump on that. And if you feel comfortable on UCLA, that's probably only going to go up as well, so you can hop on that one. But that's it. That is the show. That is episode number 9 on Marvel Victories. We'll come back stronger next week. I said we're not 100%. And so we'll have picks. We'll have Dougie Dash back. We'll have a guest. And it'll be number 10. We finally reached double digits. A 10th anniversary. So that's it for the show. And we'll see y'all next week.